Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know, Marshand is Marshand, and yeah.
Tom Wilson is Tom Wilson.
Yeah, no.
We'll leave it at that.
Their own. Marshand's a nice guy. Catching up with him, and Willie's a nice guy.
Everybody, welcome to another episode of the Brews and Bruins podcast. My name is Cam Hasbrook, joined as per usual by Drew Johnson and Sebastian over there, the cat. What up, Savvy? My guy. No Chris today. He is tending to his llama farm at the moment, but he might be back on maybe midway through. We're not exactly sure what's going on there. But we do have the pleasure of being joined by the one and only Sammy Silber, my good friend. Sammy, it's been too long, as always, I feel like, but I was just thinking on the way into this podcast studio, aka my bedroom, that I feel like we're a long way from like the old days. I miss like bumping into you in Night Hall and at the Herb through the glass and stuff. It's been a while since we've been able to chat in person, so we'll have to make that happen again soon. But how you doing elsewhere?
I'm doing great. I'm on my favorite podcast that I forced my way back on. So no,
we have the pleasure of allowing you to force yourself back on, so it's good.
I love it. No, but otherwise doing good, busy with the reporting and the season and the dog, you know, found just decided to wake up and scratch the couch, so
excellent.
It's felt good. The excitement through the screens, I guess, of the Brews and Burns podcast here, but we are at the Hockey Podcast Network podcast presented by Bruins Diehards, Pride Diehards, and DraftKings. Drew, say some words. What's going on, my man?
Hey, what's good? So I guess we can usher this right into beers. We just went to – Cam and I went to Bissell Brothers Brewing Company in Portland, Maine last night. Had a great interview with Peter Bissell. That'll be a two-part episode, I believe, given it was like a 2.5-hour long conversation.
Yeah, for sure.
And it'll come later this week or over the weekend or something. So I have a Bissell Brothers beer, because if you did not see on Twitter, Peter gave us a shitload of beer.
What a guy.
And if you did not see on Twitter, I was carrying them all into my portion, because Cam and I each got like 16 beers. I was carrying my portion into the apartment, and one cracked and spilled all over my jeans, which I almost wore today to an interview. And at the last second was like, nope, these are not the ones to wear. So being hungover, I was trying to kind of find the lightest one of the ones he gave us.
But I think I picked the wrong one. Yeah,
I picked the 8%.
I was going to say, I'm glad we didn't grab the same one, and I'm especially glad because of that, but...
But this is the Swish, which he talked about, is just one of their staples there at Bissell Brothers. So let's try it out. Did we had a Swish? That was one of the ones we had, right? At the end, he gave us that and the Nothing Gold, I think.
I believe so. Yeah, those are the last two that we did.
So this is the Swish. Very hoppy, very very hoppy. So tastability 37 out of 37. Drinkability. Now, this is considering that I've been hungover all fucking day. I'm going to go with like a 10. But normally it'd be more like a 20, I think. So
that's excellent.
Yeah. All depends on the time and day.
That's nice. Just to piggyback off of what Drew said, I guess. We had the incredible opportunity of going into Bissell yesterday and chatting with Peter. Huge thank you to him for taking the time to kind of share his personal story and the story of Bissell Brothers. And really cool. If you don't know it, you should kind of go up and do some research. And if you're ever in the area, definitely make sure you get over to their spot on Thompson's Point. Or if you're in way northern Maine, you can visit their Milo location, which he was also telling us about. But hugely grateful to Peter for that. That was an awesome experience. He walked us. We got like, I felt like we got the red carpet rolled out for us. He, when as soon as we walked in, he gave us hockey jerseys off the bat, which was crazy. And then he kind of walked us through to their back office. We got to kind of see the behind the scenes, if you will, of the brewery and back where they had all the huge tanks and stuff with everything brewing. And then obviously was gracious enough to give us several hours of his time and a lot of his own beer for us to taste and discuss on the pod and stuff. And then as Drew alluded to, he gave us way more than we deserved on the way out. So huge shouts to him. I think it's one our fans are going to be excited about for sure. Listening, like I think this was definitely the most beer heavy episode we've done, which I'm proud about it as it should be with the brewer. But even if you're not like a huge hockey fan, I think this is something that people will enjoy just hearing his story. And obviously the brewery itself is incredible, but also was really cool to kind of get to know Peter and stuff. And I definitely really admire him and his brother's character and stuff, and just kind of the tenacity and the community that they've built through that brewery. A couple of really cool things that he's talked about with like some programs they have to like help people who are working there, like kind of design their own beers and stuff like that. And you can tell it's just a really tight-knit community that he's got there. And also kind of an inside look into like the behind the scenes craft industry, just like between, you know, the relationships and collaborations between breweries and stuff like that. Was really cool. So really an awesome opportunity for us to be able to do that. And definitely check it out. Like Drew said, I think we'll probably have one episode out at least this weekend. The other one might be Monday or Tuesday or something, but plenty of good stuff to go around. So anyway, because of Peter's kindness, I'm walking home with the Precept, one of my favorite Bissell Brothers brew. It's a German style Pilsner, very light. It's got that kind of like very tame golden color to it. Definitely passes the Drew test. It's got that like very light, I'm trying to figure out what I would, it's almost like an olive oil color, like a very light olive oil. A great beer to drink if you had, say, too many last night like Drew and I did. Drinkability very high, I'm gonna say like a 34. And tasteability, I'm going to give it like a 20, which I think is very respectable for this type of beer. You know, it's not like an IPA that's going to be crazy with flavor in your mouth, but it's very smooth, lighter. It tastes golden, which is nice. But Sammy, anything going on over there? You're anchoring the show tonight, probably, which is what we need.
I'm drinking a Sprite. Nice. It's a very good brew.
It always is. The consistency there is incredible.
It's a lemon lime, you know.
Mm-hmm. I did see they rebranded Sierra Mist. Did you guys see that? It's kind of crazy. It's
Sierra
like
Mist is like the poor man's Sprite.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, no, Sprite is definitely superior. Maybe that's why they felt the need to rebrand. They were like, hey, we gotta try, you know, giving this another go or something. But it's nothing like a nice fresh fountain Sprite from like a McDonald's when you're crushing some fries or something. Oh,
the grenades. It's literally like a grenade in a cup.
Yeah. It's incredible.
No, otherwise dog's just attacking me. She likes Twizzlers, so like she keeps coming over because I have Twizzlers, and she doesn't understand that I'm not gonna give her Twizzlers.
Yeah, she's trying to get some FaceTime on the pod, which I respect. Although we already told you we don't use video, so
no, I'm not trying. She climbs. It like every single podcast I go on, she like comes up to the camera and I'm like,
loves the attention. Yeah.
Like, no.
Trying to provide some input.
No, thank God there's not a camera.
Yeah, otherwise probably no one would watch our podcast with me and Drew on here. So
we did like two episodes on YouTube and I think they each got like 10 views, and five of them are probably like my parents.
They felt bad. That's good. If you're a newer listener to Brews and Bruins, this might be your first time hearing Sammy. Sammy covers the Caps for Washington Hockey now and also works for Peacock, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Sammy, we'll start just talking a little Cap stuff first. I know it's been like we have a similar kind of storyline between Washington and Boston the last few years of like kind of an aging core, and obviously Ovi's the man to watch there. And there's always been that discussion of, like, are the Bruins / Capitals getting too old? You know, we got a lot of season to go here, but I'd say it's been not quite what we've come to expect out of the Capitals. I mean, they are, you know, 6 games above 500, at least as far as – I guess they're even 500 right now as of time of recording if you include the overtime losses. A little bit of a skid for their 4 wins in their last 10, a couple losses in a row here, and a couple games in hand on a lot of the teams that have a point advantage on them. So what's been your read so far? The Caps, are they really starting to hit a wall here, or do you think this is just kind of a little bit of a speed bump that they'll get through?
Well, I mean, it wasn't a pretty start. I mean, it took a long time to get into the sink of things. And I think that the injuries piling up, obviously, I mean, you have Backstrom Wilson out to miss the start of the season. And then you had Connor Brown go down, 4 games into the season. And then you're missing your top penalty killer in Hags, and you're still, you're missing quite a bit of guys. And then, down the road, you lose Carly when your team's heating up. And in December, they had a kind of a team meeting where, the leadership group met with Laviolette and kind of said, hey, this is not working. We need to be on the same page. Everybody needs to pull on the rope and commit every night. And that led to a really great December, where they rocketed up the standings. And then January, it's kind of been a step back, right? There's some inconsistency there, and there's some frustration too. I mean, because in some of these games, right, they're playing the right way and they're doing the right things. And it's not like they're having like a terrible effort. Like last night's loss in Colorado was a great effort, and the Caps arguably for the majority of it were the better team, right? But hockey is a beautiful game, as you guys know, and it's all about bounces. I mean, but when you have guys like Osh who dealt with stuff, and Backy Willie out, and then Wilson gets hurt again last night, I mean, it's just this vicious cycle. And it's just, getting the new pieces to click, finding your right combinations, right? So, and Backy and Willie coming back, I mean, it's great, but also it takes a couple games to, like, feel it out, like, who fits where, So that kind of, I think, has led to a little bit of the setback, because the team's not going to click on all cylinders when you're just getting guys who haven't played in, 7-8 months back in the mix. So yeah, it's been one of ups and downs, and I mean, I can tell you that they're a tight-knit group, and like I'm sure every locker room is, and they care about each other deeply, and they play for each other. And I think if they just keep doing that and go on the right path, I think things will look up. I mean, the goaltending's much better. Gustafson's been great on defense. You got a lot of, Dylan Strome's been great. You got a lot working for you, right? And Kemp's, Lingering, both of them are fantastic goaltenders. So I think there's a lot of upgrades from last season. It's just a matter of getting it to come together.
So how long do you think Ovechkin is going to play for? Because he just seems like one of those guys who will play until he's 60. They just never
and then he'll go over to Russia and keep
just
playing.
Like, just 70, double every single record and every stat that he can.
Yeah, he's a machine. He's durable. I mean, he missed, one game due to the lower body injury and came right back, yesterday, and they really needed him yesterday. And, he comes back great and scores and, skates like 23 minutes, right? So at 37 years old, that's insane. But he takes very good care of himself, very good care of his body. When you interview this man and, in the locker room and you see, him with the gear off, I mean, he's still huge. He's a huge guy, so
yeah,
he's a big man is his, nickname in the room. They all call him, big man, and there's a reason they call him that. So I think he's feeling good, and I think he's going to finish out. Sorry, my dog is destroying the bottom of my couch as I talk. This is the scratching that you hear underneath. But no, otherwise, I mean, I think he's going to play for the rest of his contract, obviously. And then, I think he'll play until he breaks that record. And, we'll see. But I imagine even if he doesn't stay in the NHL, I would imagine he continues overseas. Or, I mean, the man loves hockey.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, he loves it. And you know, your passion takes you far, right? So I think we'll see him for a while. Jager is like a immortal.
Yeah. I think he's getting younger at this point. He's actually starting to like Benjamin Button.
Benjamin Button. Yes.
Like, I don't know if that's a rare form or if that's how Ovi will be, but I'm baffled.
We can hope at least. Do you think like Ovi's the type? You've had obviously a lot more one-to-one interaction with him than Drew and I have, which is none. Do you think he's the type that would like be drawn toward coaching or management or something like that after he's retired? Like you talked about that love he has for hockey. Do you think that's something to be interested in, or do you think he just wants to play until he can't play anymore?
I'm not sure. I mean, something about O is he's a great leader too. I mean, he's obviously the captain, but he sets the tone. You know, he gets his guys pumped up. He leads the charge, you know, on and off the ice. He sets an example, and you know, that's the makings of a great coach and a great, you know, manager down the road. Right. But I mean, the man loves to play, and you never know. I mean, there's so many different opportunities that pop up, you know, where former players become coaches or general managers. I know one player who really wants to be a GM is Dylan Strome. Mm-hmm. Like he will be a general manager one day. And he's said so many times, he's like, I want to do that. And I'm like, I hear you.
He's like trying to get it on record as many times as he can so that he can point back to it after you. Like, I've written it every week, man. What do you want me to do?
I'm like, I can – I don't know if you guys have seen, like, the – it was, like, during COVID when, like, one of, like, the judiciary – I guess there was, like, an online court hearing, and one of the guys had a cat filter. And he was like, I'm not a cat. And the guy was like, I can see that. That's how I feel. Well, I'm like, I can see that. But I think he'll have a future in hockey and a role on the team. I mean, that much is clear. The guy's gonna stay involved in the game, I think.
Yeah. I could definitely see that. I hope so. He's a cool personality to have and stuff, and obviously is one of the all-time greats in the league, so and in the sport, so you hope living to see more of a legacy there. Yeah absolutely. Another cap who's been lighting it up is Evgeny Kuznetsov, who seems to be just kind of building, I feel like, every season. But what's it like to, like, I mean, I feel like Ovi kind of obviously and well deservedly gets that main spotlight in Washington, and he's certainly earned it. But what's it like to kind of watch somebody like Kuznetsov on a regular basis and see him up close, and what's he kind of like behind the mic?
Oh, I love Kuz. He's fun. He's behind the mic. He's a funny guy. I mean, he's always got a joke ready for you or something wacky to say, and you'll kind of just like look at him and be like, what? But you vibe with it. But watching him is really cool. I mean, this season he's more so racking up those assists and making those plays, and I mean it's fun to watch him. You know, he's an excellent puck carrier. He's incredibly underrated, and obviously when he's in the shootout going in slow motion, like his controller got disconnected, right? I mean, it's amazing what he can do with the puck. I mean, he has so much talent, and you know, some of the moves, it's funny, I was talking to him about like the stick twirl move that I did in one of the shootouts, and he was like, oh, I didn't mean to do that. He's like, I was just panicking, like I was just freaking out, like and you know, he always has like great stories to tell, or he'll, you know, mess around, and he's a funny guy, he loves to laugh, but you know, he's gotten the A a couple times this season, and there's a reason why. You know, he's matured a lot, I think, over these past years, and become a, you know, voice in the locker room and a team guy first, where he doesn't necessarily need to say something to lead by example, right? He can just show it, and that's something I like about Kuz, and I think he's been working really hard to raise his game, you know, to the level that he can be at, you know, after kind of an off season, as my dog begs for food, you know, to kind of see him mature and to grow and get into, he's not an old guy, but to see him, you know, grow his game is just incredible.
Yeah.
I do have a Bruins question, but first we got to pay the bills somehow. And disclaimer, DraftKings does not pay any of our fucking bills. DraftKings, 4 NFL teams, 2 conference championship games, and 1 Oh no. 4 NFL teams, 2 conference championship games, and only a few more shots to win big on the playoffs with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Counting down and feeling the sweat to Super Bowl 57, new customers can bet just $5 and get $200 in free bets instantly. Not a new customer? You can feel the conference championship thrills and sweat with stepped up same game parlays. Take your shot at an even bigger
sweat
NFL payout and boost your winnings with each leg you add up to 100%. Please talk about one of the games who will be keeping an eye on, who most excites you, etc. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN. New customers can bet $5 on the conference championships and get $200 in free bets instantly. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details and a huge disclaimer. Which takes up much more than the quick summaries Cam and I write. Disclaimer is about 90% of the episode summary. Yeah. But I do have a Bruins question for you, Sammy, because in our little corner, we're just like completely like, holy shit, this season is amazing. This is a historic team. Oh my God. But a perspective we don't really always get is just what it's like to see this other team in the league being like so dominant. And I've seen like videos on YouTube and like, you know, tweets out there that's like, wow, the Bruins are scary. But what are your thoughts on seeing this from the outside looking in? And also, as we mentioned, the Caps and Bruins have a game coming up. So how's that also feel?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's you know, at the season opener, you know, I saw the Bees and, you know, they were great. I mean, they came out the season ready to play. You know, I think that seeing that depth that they have, you know, throughout the lineup is incredible. But Linus Ullmark is insane, which is awesome to see because I think he was a later round draft pick as well. So to see him really, you know, come into it and be this, you know, Vezina front runner, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I mean, and to see the Bruins so high in the standings is unbelievable. I mean, it's fun to watch, you know, just because you cover, you know, the Caps or, you know, you grow up a fan of a certain team, right? I mean, there's such a difference between covering a team and them respecting the other teams, right? And respecting what they can do and the Bruins are definitely a team that does that. You know, they follow the system. They play a very good game. I think that, you know, the new coach is incredible. And I think that they're really coming in, not coming into their own. I mean, you guys have been great for years, but like this season feels different. I don't know if you guys feel that way. You probably know better than I do. But I see, you know, a core that's still together. Bergeron's still rocking it. Krejci's doing great. And, you know, Marchand is Marchand. And yeah.
Tom Wilson is Tom Wilson.
Yeah, no.
We'll leave it at that.
Their own. Marchand's a nice guy. I, you know, catching up with him. And Willie's a nice guy, too. So. They're both good people. So that's good.
Nice to see.
Yeah. Never met a mean hockey player. So that's good on my front. But no, I mean it's fun to watch. And it's fun to watch teams play good hockey and to see the locker room chemistry from the other side and you know, see these guys having fun and raising up the standings and you know, I'm enjoying it. You know, I love watching hockey. It doesn't matter who it is, right?
So right.
Watching Boston, it's a lot of fun. So, props to y'all.
I think thank you. We have so, me and Cam and Chris have so.
Yeah,
much
you guys play so well every night.
Yeah. I think from our perspective, it's definitely like this feels different and wow. But something we talked about the other night with Peter was. If they fall short at like almost of a cup, it almost feels like a failure just the way it's going. And it's regular season, different than playoffs and everything, but wow. And then also scary because this could be the last hurrah with guys like Krejci and Bergeron. That's also scary to think. where this team's going to go without them, how close they could or how good they could be without them going forward.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of reminds me, right, of I was a kiddo at the time. I'm trying to remember how – I think I was like 13, about to turn 13. And it was like 2010 Caps, right? And they were unreal. They were an unreal team. And it kind of reminds – I mean, they were obviously not the older core. You know, they were the young guns, you know, the Ovechkin and the Semin and the Backe and, you know, all that fun stuff. And they were incredible, right? And you have a first-round exit to the AC in Montreal, and I punched a hole in my wall. my family was not happy, but I was very upset. And – I don't punch walls anymore. I'm not really an angry person.
Not really a wall puncher. Yeah, one and done is usually good.
Not a wall puncher.
As someone who's also punched a wall before, not for hockey reasons, that usually teaches you you do it.
You know, I don't know. I'm all tough and talk on the ice, but off the ice, it's not really anger. It's just disappointment. So. But no, I mean, and it's different when you're a reporter, right? But watching the 2010 Caps, I mean, it reminds me a lot of things, right? I mean, you guys had such a long home win streak, right? And, you know, the Caps were, I think they were on a 15-game heater back then. And they eventually, when they lost it, it hurts as a fan. And then seeing them, you know, fail in the playoffs, especially like that year, they were the favorites. Like, I think if they had gotten past that round, they would have won the cup. And it hurts. And But that's how it feels. But I don't know. Like, my first season was covering the 2018 Caps, like, when they won, which was pretty cool. Cause like,
that's pretty neat.
Kid, you know, your first season, you end up going to the Stanley Cup final and, you know, getting to watch your childhood heroes basically hoist, you know, the trophy they've been waiting for their whole lives. And you get to know the guys too, and you root for them. But that season felt different. It had a different... Something felt special. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it was, but I remember walking into the locker room before their second round series with the Penguins started, and it felt like a different feeling. I was like, something, this isn't going to be the same thing. You know what I mean? And then ended up not being it. So if that gives you any comfort, I don't
know. Yeah, I think it does. I feel like that's one of the things we were also talking about the other night was like, I don't know, over the last decade plus, we've seen a lot of good Bruins teams, and a couple of them made some pretty incredible runs and stuff. But even looking back to, like, the 2019 team, which was a game away and, you know, a couple of bounces away from winning it all, it does feel like there's a different vibe with this team. And so, I obviously, as Bruins fans here, we hope that it does happen, obviously. But I also, you know what I mean, I think you got to make sure, as a fan especially, you're, like, appreciating – what's going on right now as it is too, because even if they don't go all the way, what we're seeing right now is just incredible. And I mean, I feel like I wake up and look at the Bruins record in the morning and I just laugh because I'm like, that's not a real thing. There's no way. Like, you expect to just like snap out of it because it's just so, even from like a visual perspective, just looking at the numbers in that order is like something's mad. It looks like a typo, you know what I mean? It's crazy.
Yeah.
And then just looking at like the difference between like their goal difference and like the second best, like they still have like twice as good of a goal difference as the number two team and stuff. It's just like, I think the difference between them and Carolina, who is number two as of like last week, was the same as the difference between number two Carolina and number 15 Pittsburgh. Like, it's just a ridiculous performance that they put on. And I remember saying like early in the season when we were watching that home win streak that you had alluded to, like, I remember talking to these guys and I was like, hey, at what point does this become like, not just like a hot start, but like, oh my God, this team is doing something special. And I think we're way past that point at this point. And there definitely is that feeling that's different. And it feels like it's like seen on the ice. Like, we were talking about that yesterday too. Just like, you can tell they're having fun when they're playing. Even guys like Nick Foligno and stuff, we struggled last year. Just everybody feels like they're really pulling their weight and providing value. And you can tell they're really enjoying the game that they're playing. And it's so special to watch on a you know, nightly or weekly basis or whatever.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure.
Drew, you looked like you were eager to jump in there or something. Though.
What I was going to say was just like the coaching change. Once David Krejci said the coaching change was needed, that's when I knew the coaching change was definitely needed. It like felt like it after the hot start. But then once Krejci said something, I was like, Jesus, and he was gone last year.
I don't want to shade Bruce Cassidy, though. I still like Bruce Cassidy. And clearly he's doing well out in Vegas. So I don't think you know, it's like a not to knock him, but sometimes you just need a change. And it does feel like Montgomery, from a personal standpoint and his relationship with the players, and then also just from a purely tactical standpoint, is kind of exactly what this team's needed. And I tweeted some borderline unhinged shit from the Twitter account the other day, because Hampus Lindholm sniped one out and then Charlie McAvoy walked through like an entire team to score. And just that change, that's been the most noticeable change for me, is just how much more that Diaz has been activated for this team this year. And you have guys like Hampus Lindholm having a potentially Norris Trophy winning season, or at least, you know, he's in that consideration. He's in that talk. He's got like a plus 60 or something like right now. He's playing the best hockey he's played in his career, I think, no doubt. And then obviously I still have guys like Charlie McAvoy and that sort of thing. And even your Matt Grizzlicks and your Connor Clifton's, like, it really works toward their playing style to have them stepping into the offense and really contributing to like both ends of the ice, which is one of the things that I don't think Cassidy's system allowed for quite as much. And it seems like that's just been made a huge difference. And I mean, you look up and down the lineup at scoring, and even from like a forwards perspective, like, it feels weird to be like, oh, activating the defense can help forwards score more, but it can, because it's just like, if you know your main three threats are the guys that are lining up at the center and on the two wings, then you can protect them a lot easier. But if all of a sudden you have to worry about Charlie McAvoy pulling up Bobby Orr and going coast to coast, other people are going to be open, right? So I think it's not a coincidence that you've seen that happen and a lot more scoring throughout the lineup. And I'm a big Bruce Cassidy guy, but in hindsight, I think it's tough to say that it wasn't the right move to bring in Monty for this season, for sure.
I mean, Jake DeBrusk rescinded his trade request, so
that's, yeah,
he's well, on that my fantasy from, team. Yeah, that's what's most important.
There you go. That's good.
Oh, I do want to get to the fantasy league at some point, but first, I do want to ask one more real life hockey question, which is, I want to get your thoughts, Sammy. And I don't even know if we've talked about this, like, just as the Bruins and Bruins crew. Former Washington Capitals coach Bruce Boudreau, in his situation in Vancouver, that it seems everyone has shat upon. But I just want to get your thoughts on that whole situation, because I have never seen something like that, where, you know, a coach is going to go and you're basically telling them to hold on. It's like you're working at a restaurant, you're going to get fired, but they're like, hey, we're actually short staffed, so can you wait a week while we train this new guy? Like, it's just an odd situation.
No, it honestly, I mean, I've never seen anything like that. And it was one of the, personally, one of the worst, I think it was one of the worst, you know, managed things I've ever seen. I did not really vibe with Rutherford's presser or anything he really, you know, had to explain, because I didn't really think he took accountability for the situation and kind of blamed it on the media and the speculation, the outside noise. And I'm like, but who caused that? Like, is it the chicken, you know, chicken or the egg, you know what I mean? So I think, you know, with that, it's and Gabby's a great guy, right? I mean, Boudreau is all class, and there's a reason the Canucks fans, you know, we're applauding him, you know, rising to their feet and chanting for the guy. I mean, he's a great coach, you know, and I don't think that the team did much to help him. They kind of set him up to fail in a way, you know. They didn't really bring in a lot of, you know, help in the off season, and there's been struggles, but it's not always the coach, right? I mean, at some point it's a system problem, or it's a player problem, or it's a management problem, right? Yeah. So I think, you know, the mismanaging of it was awful, and it kind of, you know, made Boudreau a sitting duck in a way, right? Where, like you said, I mean, you're just sitting there waiting. And you don't know, you know what I mean? And yeah, I mean, in the business of hockey, I mean, if you're going to hire a new coach, you're going to talk to candidates and that kind of thing. But it's a different thing to talk to candidates, but to openly, you know, be so public, like talking to coaches and having your replacement picked, and then you know, just having the other guy along for the ride while you do all that. Like that, it feels very like, you know, The Office, like the dinner party episode. And it's just like,
yes.
That's like kind of
watching it.
And like Jim Rutherford was kind of like the Jan of it. So I think it was just very poorly handled. And, you know, it's nothing against, you know, the new guy or anything. It was a management problem through and through. And, you know, so we'll see. I think that the backlash that Rick's getting is not warranted. You know, I think, you know, it's not his fault, but it's Rutherford, I think, should take all the blame for that. So,
yeah, agreed. I actually like missed the kind of like prequel to that, if you will, and just had seen it going around Twitter, and then I had to go kind of look up what was going on, and it was crazy. Shouts to the Vancouver fans for the Bruce There It Is thing they had going on. That was a really incredible moment. But yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things that like you can tell it was so horribly mismanaged, and like Sammy said, kind of just setting up Boudreaux to fail. And you know, it's clear that I think that the players really admire him and something like that, and really felt they had let him down and that sort of thing. But you know, we've talked about it before with other teams and the Bruins even too. I think we kind of discussed this when Cassidy left and stuff, but it's always the coach that's the easiest one to point to, right? Like that's the easiest one to scapegoat, whether or not they're deserving of it and stuff. And you know, not to say that it hasn't been a disappointing season for Vancouver, but there's certainly a lot more going wrong than just the coach. So
I think there's a trend too. Like if you look, I mean, maybe it's in all sports, but especially hockey now, coaches spend like they don't have long runs with teams anymore. Even if they win a cup with them, even like, you know, even if they find great success, the moment something turns, they're the scapegoat. They're the guy you fire. Cause, kind of weird.
No, absolutely. Like, it's looking more like English soccer or something where like you lose four games in a row and you just get sacked. And it was like, well, that guy won his four championships or something, but like, yeah, okay. He lost four games. So it's time for nothing. Like it's one of those things, but I'm sure Boudreaux will find work elsewhere. He's got a boatload of experience in hockey and seems to be pretty well liked.
Maybe the Bruins will lose.
I just saw one of our teammates from Maryland on the Big Ten broadcast as I'm watching the Maryland basketball game. Shouts to the Jeeves.
Maybe the Bruins will hit like a 3-game losing streak.
they'll just can Montgomery.
Like, all right, let's bring Boudreaux in. That's
so he's going to be like, Jamie Lee's going to find another racist prospect to bring in or something.
So, Sammy, I have a fantasy hockey league question. So for those who aren't aware, well, we did an episode where it was most of us on for the draft and everything. But I'll give a little standings update first. We got Pasta Party, which is Sean Rougeot in first. We got Bruins Chuck Norris, which is Pat in second. Then it's Dusky Sunset and the Boys, which is Chris. Lancey's Lovable Losers, which is obviously Lancey. Four's the Brand, which is Rob Schlosser. Johnny Canucks, that's Sammy. 31st Most Handsome, we got Oliver over at Pride Diehards. The Big Beefy Boys, our very own Cam Hasbrook. Vesa took Toscala de Goalies, which is Kat Silverman. The Gabagools, which is Mikey Radigan. And 11th out of 12th, it's Upon This Rock, your boy, Doob Schmoob. And then, and last, we got Moves Like Yager, which is Court Lalonde. And it's very sad that I am only like, I think it's like 5, 6, 7 points ahead of Court, and he literally hasn't touched his roster. He's made 2 roster moves and like doesn't update his starters or anything. And I'm like very, very sad about that. But if you look at moves, just in terms of, you know, pickups and drops and everything, Kat has made 31, which is second most. And then you look over at Sammy's Johnny Canucks, who have made 100, literally 100 moves. My phone gets blown up almost every day with all these drops and ads, which is great.
I had no idea it blows up your
phone. No, it's my fault for having alerts on for this. but you were like bottom of the barrel to start the season, and then slowly I started seeing you making all these moves. So I want to get the rationale behind it, and also how you think it's bred success, because you have climbed and you're now in sixth place.
At the end of the day, it's a business. No, I mean it. I don't know. I wasn't thrilled with the way that some of my guys started. I think, you know, Jordan Kyrou and Robert Thomas were two of my top guys, and I don't think it was the hottest start for them. Watch like a St. Louis fan like listen to this and be like, what is she talking about?
I don't think we have any Blues fans. I promise you that. No. After 2019.
After 2019, I don't think you do either. Yeah. But no, I mean, I don't know. I look at like the different like places where like I'm trailing, or like, you know, I'll be like, okay, I need more hits, you know, time to throw in Marty Party. Or I'll be like, you know, I'll be like, okay, like I need some power play points. And lately, you know, I have a couple Caps guys, you know, I have Backe and Ovi and Stromer, and lately the power play just hasn't been clicking in DC. And so you gotta get some guys from those top ranked power play units. And then you got shots, you know, I have Ovi, so I'm always going to get shots, but
yep.
You fall behind. So you need to get some more. And I think I'm like usually running 3D. So I got to do that. I pick up like Kuzmenko like once every 2 weeks. I like revisit him. But like, you know, I'm just saying, nobody touched Tage Thompson to start the season. And I picked him up off waivers. And now it's all worth it. But, you know, I like Ryan the Hot Hand. I love hockey, right? And we all do. So I love looking at it and just like shooting the shit and playing, you know, whatever. Like I'll start this guy. I don't care. I think I had I think I forget who I had, but like he hasn't really like done anything, and he had like a good game, and I put him in there, and I was like, damn, worth it. And sometimes you'll look and be like, huh, I'm surprised this guy is on a roster, and you'll pick him up and have fun. And then, you know, I think my trades, you know, I think I asked for a couple trades and got rudely rejected by a couple of you. So I had
it's
to...
not me. I want to clear my name here, Sam.
Oh, it was me. I think it was me.
It was you.
What did I say? I forget.
I'm not going to name names. You did. But, you know, and when you don't get trades or fair general managers, you know, you have to really just hit the market. So, you know, way to go, Drew. And, you know, I don't know.
I could use some trades. If you're open still, I need to revamp my team.
Because we were dead last. The Johnny Canucks were dead last. And now we're cutting. But we're only, like, cutting it by a little bit. Like, I won this past week by a margin just because, well, my goalies had a really
8-4. 8-4-0.
Oh, yeah, no. But the goaltender was close. Like, the goaltender, I made like two more saves on the other side. I think that the stats would have tied, and it would be a different story. So,
yeah,
you know what? It's a business, and sometimes you gotta tell some of the boys to go. Sometimes you gotta bring some of the boys in, and cuts have to be made, and those aren't gonna be taken well in the locker room, but. Yeah.
I do need to also ask you a question, Cam, because I'm just noticing Cam is in last in terms of moves with 0. So literally Sammy has made 100 more moves than Cam has. Cam is now in 8th. Cam, how's that strategy working for you, and what's the rationale?
You know, I'm not going to trash Sammy's strategy. I love the thought process. Everybody's unique, right? Everybody's bringing something else to the table. I will say loyalty, dying breed, you know, dying trait. And I try to be loyal to my guys. I know how much, you know, I try to really foster those relationships, because I feel like I can build on those come playoff time. It definitely has nothing to do with me just forgetting to set my lineup most weeks. I do have the reminder on my phone. The problem is I think I set it too late, so I only have like a couple minutes to actually
like
make the
8 p.m.
Yeah, it's like 6 p.m. or something like that.
You get the West Coast games.
So sometimes I get them in time. Other times it's not. But you know, maybe I'll feel inspired after, you know, Sammy's kind of revitalizing my love for fantasy hockey.
Well, yeah, I mean, and it's for the media, right? I mean,
exactly.
It's for people to cover, you know, an active team. Ooh, you know.
Who needs it? But maybe I'll have to jump back in there and start making some moves.
Yeah. Good. I think you do. Yeah.
I think our trade deadline's coming up like first week of February too. So if you want to resume negotiations, Jimmy, I'm available. I need some help. I also have some injuries. People coming off the injury list. I have three guys on IR. DeBrusque will be off soon. I got Landeskog on there. So I'm going to need to make some room. So
I don't know. I don't really forget things.
I think I killed my own chances of making a trade with Sammy now too. So
I have a long memory. So
Well, if any listeners out there want to join the Fantasy Hockey League for next year, just tweet at us a bunch and we'll probably let you in. So as long as you're
there really is no barrier.
Yeah. It's like, don't be a dick. It's pretty much like the
don't be a dick and also be friends with Pat because he made the whole league.
That's true. Yeah, shouts to Pat.
Yeah, I broke the dick rule. You know, that probably sounds like out of context. Very.
We're gonna clip that one. Yeah.
That's the cold open.
Nobody clip that. Nobody touch that.
Well, we have to clip that part too. Then there.
That's good. But yeah, I'm a dick. So.
Are we all?
I broke that rule, but I luckily know Cam. So.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
Yeah. I know. I feel like. I think I've known actually. Well, I guess. It depends. I met Sammy at least in person before I met Drew or Chris. I guess I technically knew them first because I met them through the Hockey Writers in high school, but that was all virtually. So in some ways, Sammy, we go back more than Drew. But
I took a couple profile pictures for Cam. So.
Oh, that's true. Actually, pretty much all of the ones that I have ever used for hockey were taken by you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ironically, Cam's taken my most recent profile picture.
So, yeah. Really?
Yeah. So now I got to take your profile picture, Sammy.
Just okay. Perfect.
Sammy,
I'll take it right now via the.
Sammy took what is one of my favorite photos of all time, which was my teammate Nick, aka Brucey, puking into a trash can during one of our games. It was midstream. It was truly photographic genius right there. Sammy is incredible, but I got a lot of use out of that one. But
oh my god.
Anyway, Sammy, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm sure we'll circle back to you as soon as you want to come back on.
I'll circle back to you guys. Yeah, I forced my way onto this podcast.
It is an open door for you and many others as well. So.
I literally coerced them to bring.
just bother Chris because Chris is technically our official booker, even though he's about. He's got like a 500 record on getting the big guests. So no, love he's actually probably the Porter. Best one at it. We're me and Cam are below 500.
So. Yeah, I know. Sarah's like, I'm coming on, and then I message her, and then she doesn't respond. I'm like, all right, we'll get back to it.
I'll just DM him every day, but like at a very bad time, like at a really inconvenient time.
Yeah, and Sammy, if there's any like other media that you're friends, or I'm sorry, not that you're friends with, that you really hate, and you're like. Oh, I'm gonna fuck you over really good. Be like, I have a podcast I can recommend to go on. You'd be like, just it'll be great for your career. Go on Brews and Bruins, and they'll come on here. We'll probably tank your career in a solid 30.
I'm not giving anybody my star power. This is my claim to fame. Why would I? I'm just kidding. No, I should say. I mean, the people I work with in the press box are absolutely incredible, and they're one of the reasons that I enjoy this gig so much is going in. Seeing them every day at the rink and learning from them. And yeah, Steve Wino is also one of the coolest folks. And he wrote like a book. I don't know if you guys are seeing on like the emergency goalies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually.
Yeah.
I've seen that like tweeted about. Yeah.
Yeah. It's awesome. It's a great read. And Aaron Joel Patty's Fighter is a good read too. Mm-hmm. I'm just promoting books at the end of this podcast.
Yeah.
You any books coming out?
Any books of your own you want to promote?
No, I'm writing a book right now, but...
Are you?
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm jealous. I want to write a book. I just haven't been able to come up with a good idea yet.
It's called
so.
The Hasbrook Chronicles.
there you go. I'm the main character.
Yeah.
And the front cover is that guy.
It's about a lowly hockey player who
yeah.
can't win games, but he, you know, relies on loyalty.
That sounds very based like my college career.
Based on a true story. No,
dragging these degenerates down to South Carolina. A Cam Hasbrook story.
It's just ways to pass the time, you know, and he's always right. I don't know.
Well, when you publish that book, Go on some professional media people and stuff, but we better be the fucking first people.
I want to review. Yeah, I want to be able to review. Yeah, we'll I want to put my.
We'll give it a Bergeron scale review. We'll be like, the book is 0%.
37 out of 37. But... The Bruce and Bruce podcast. Like,
give it the Selkie. I'll make it like a two-way book. Like, you can read it.
It's upside down like, on the next page.
Yeah, yeah, no, it works like either way. Like that Kaleidoscope show on Netflix. You can like watch it either way. Yeah, that's like that's the Bergeron of Netflix shows.
That's incredible.
You can watch it in any order. It's gonna be good, you know. But no, thank you guys. Seriously, I had fun, course. And my mixtape's dropping soon.
Yeah.
Last thing before we wrap. Shout out your social media and stuff if you want, or if you don't want people to find you. We probably have very few listeners anyway.
Yeah, so I have a remote cabin. I love living there. No, I'm just kidding. You can follow me at Sammy Silber. Silber is not silver. I've also heard weird pronunciation. Sammy is SammySilber. Like B, you know?
B as in Bruin.
B as in Brooklyn.
B as in Bruin.
Like... you know, really enunciate that B. And then we're WSH Hockey Now on Twitter. You can find us Washington Hockey Now on Facebook if anybody still uses it. And then shout out to Michael Giametta. He runs our Instagram, you know, WHS, or not WHS, that's my high school. WSH Hockey Now is our Instagram. And he does a hell of a job. He edits, you know, photos and he started taking his own and he's great. And then my dog's Instagram is at Koozie Cam. She's fun to watch. She's a trooper. And Brews and Bruins is a great follow.
Not on Instagram because we barely post. But
yeah, they're okay.
We've talked about bumping up our Instagram game for like 3 years, but we finally talked about interviewing a brewer for 3 years, and we did.
You need a Giametta.
I was gonna say, you're gonna hook us up with your guy. It'd be good.
Yeah. You need a Michael because that guy does everything on the Instagram. And like, I'll forget to text him and he'll already have it up. And I'm like, dude, you are a clutch, man.
It's beautiful. Like,
yeah. I met him at hockey randomly. And I was like, I dig this dude. And he's like, yeah.
On Instagram. Hell yeah. Yeah.
Play some hockey. Drop the gloves every once in a while.
Good. What's life if you're not dropping the gloves?
Seriously, I don't know. You know, how's goalie life, by the way?
Tough.
Yeah.
Real tough. Yeah.
I'd imagine.
Fun though. Awesome.
It looks fun.
It is. It really
is. What's your save percentage?
It depends on the sport.
Yeah, goalie. You got the goalie. The goalie. You got soccer. I don't know why I mixed up those two.
The keeper.
Especially because you're keeper in that.
Yeah. I think my whole team just, I don't even know if they know my name. I think they just call me keeper. I'm cool with that. Keeper. You know, it's an important position. Yeah.
It sounds like Cam, kind of.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Cam the Keeper. That's the book, actually.
Yeah. No, I'm gonna change it. That'll be the first book of the trilogy. I'll make it a trilogy. And yeah. Well, Cam, part 1, 2, and 3.
We better get a review then. That'd be good. Yeah. All right. Well, you know where to find us on Twitter, people. Or you don't. I don't know. Whatever. It's all good.
I don't know.
Go follow Sammy. It's much more worth your time. It's good. And yeah, we'll catch you guys. Keep an eye out for the Pistol Brothers interview this weekend, drop in and probably into next week. So you can catch that up.
Hey everyone, it's Drew. I abruptly ended the recording here because Cam wouldn't shut up. So have a good evening or day or whatever. Bye.